two points you you can take into account from now on. The one first point is you should receive the life and death, your life and death, straightforwardly. This is one point. First point is you should receive, accept life and your life and death straightforwardly, without any doubt. From the beginning to end, under all circumstances. Anyway, this is the first point. Okay. Second, you should consider how to use that life and death you have accepted. Okay? So, you have to use for all sentient beings, all beings. Okay. This is the second point. First point, you should accept, receive your life and death straightforwardly without any doubt. From the beginning to end, under all circumstances, so favorable condition, unfavorable condition, anyway, you should accept. This is first point. Second, you should consider again and again, very carefully, how to use this life and death which you have received. Okay? This is your practice every day. So let's say this one. This is a conclusion, my conclusion, and also the conclusion I am talking this time, and also this is a question for you. Okay. In Buddhism, you have to think, consider carefully this point. Okay. Let me explain one by one. First point. Let me explain first point. In Buddhism, Buddhas and patriarch ancestors from generation to generation, they have taught the most important point, which is, what to say, oneness. One. Oneness of the truth and the phenomena. Truth in your life, life and death, and also something more than life and death you have thought. That is called one, the truth. Okay? Truth is something more than life and death you have thought. This is a oneness. Right? But you don't know what it is because you have never experienced it before. So even though I say, or Buddha say, or ancestors constantly mention about this, nobody understood. Because nobody experienced. But the Buddha's ancestor cannot stop talking about this one. That's why, anyway, we have to, the Buddha's ancestor constantly be compassionate to give you this point. Constantly, regardless of whether you understand or not, constantly, this is Buddha's compassion. Okay? So oneness. oneness, the term oneness is already something at the philosophical or the psychological point, you know, term. Whatever kind of term you use, I don't think it's fit to your heart. It doesn't touch your heart. For instance, many religions use this term, uses some many terms in order to explain that oneness. Okay? Oneness, truth, God, Buddhas, you know, unqualified oneness, whatever you use, well, it's real far from us. We don't understand it. It doesn't touch your heart. So as much as possible, we try to use a term which is very intimate with us, okay? As best as we can. What is a very intimate, friendly term? I don't know what it is, but sometimes we say intimacy. Intimacy. Sometimes we use a secret word. Secret word is not usual secret. Secret is you can't talk about. You can't talk about what secret is between you and something more than you, something more than that what you have thought. You can't talk about it. You can't. So that's what we say, well, you secret. But it's that secret, something secret is very close to you. Because it touches your heart. That's why you say it's a secret. But secret is not something apart from you. The secret comes from your heart. For instance, you know, mysticism, if you use a mysticism, this is a kind of ism, so it doesn't hit your heart. Okay? But mysticism is very important for us, because we don't know what the God is, what the truth is, and then intellectually we put a certain label on it, so-called mysticism. But from where that term mysticism comes? From an individual heart. So that's a very intimate term. Right? Dogen Zenji constantly uses intimacy. And this is not physical intimacy. It is not the mental intimacy. Very intimate. Something very intimate as a whole, okay? Beyond physical and mental, no. But that is called secret. Well, sometimes Dogen Zenji uses, vine of which terrier intertwine vine of what which terrier. In other words, vine, intertwined vine. Do you understand? Is that clear? The vine of wisteria, intertwined the vine, means all of vine, all occupied by the vine, so no gap between. So he uses this kind of term. Or sometimes, adding the error to error. This, in the usual sense, it's wrong. It's something wrong. You add the error to error, so it's something wrong. But Dogen Zenji uses this term in a good sense because he wants to say about how intimate our life and death is with, you know, the truth. Your truth means something more than life and death you have thought. Okay. So that is, he tried to say, So we use this kind of term, intimacy, okay? Intimacy or secret word. when you when you go to the monastery in Japan, you can see a wooden gong, and find the verse written on it. That verse is the important matter of life and death. Life and death are impermanent and swift. This verse is written on the wooden gong. Then the monks, they every day watch this one and hit this wooden gong. Bow with bow before and after. So always all monks can see this verse through our eyes, through our senses. Even though you don't understand or not, every day we can face. That's very good practice for us. That is called in Buddhism perfume. Perfume your life. Perfume. If you are the army officer, you know, if you become army officer, your life becomes a very army person, army officers. You know, even though you wear the usual clothes, still the people feel army smell. It's not bad, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not bad. You know, because you can use it in many ways. So, for instance, if I become a priest, a Buddhist monk, even though I wear the suits and the Western clothes, still people feel you are still monk. People smell the monk from me. So I can't escape. So people don't like that smell. So because immediately people are resisting this smell, you know, I hate you. Because people want to be free from everything. But I don't know, it's questionable. That's kind of freedom. But unconsciously we do, everyone, we do. So that is called perfume in the Buddhist psychology, perfuming. So every day, in the monastery, we do like this, okay? And we through the everyday routine, and it is a very simple explanation of this the verse, which occur in special. This is very special, a collection of secret teaching, which you can get when you have a Dharma transmission from a teacher, explaining many things about the ritual, about the ritual, about the Dharma transmission, about the teaching of a koan, about the teaching of some particular Buddhist teaching, how you should understand in proper way. The, in short explanation, almost more than 200 items there. And when you receive a Dharma transmission, anyway, we have to write them down. Okay. In the ancient time, teacher gives those important secret teaching through the oral method. Oral method, but recently we wrote it down. Write down all of them by hand. But a teacher didn't teach what it means. My teacher gave me that one, and then I wrote it down anyway. But I have it. But a teacher never taught about it. I didn't understand what it was, so I just write it down. In Chinese, you know, not Japanese, Chinese, all Chinese. I never understood. But it's very curious. I have been very curious of it. what they are. So, little by little, I study anyway. That is more than 200 items. Very interesting point. Of course, you don't know. You don't know what they are exactly. Even though you, in the United States, there are some of the monks who have had the Dharma transmission. Probably they don't know yet, okay? Because all Chinese, you know, no translations. Also, teacher doesn't give any teaching about this one because it's secret, you know. But it's secret, but I don't think it's secret that it's very important. They are very important for us, so I think they should be open open to everybody. But it's very secret because sometimes they are not intimate with you. So only particular person can accept, even though it is open to everyone. Only selected person can be accepted. Selected person can accept those teaching. That's why naturally in the history it becomes secret. You know, do you understand? Naturally it becomes secret because many people don't understand it. Or that those teachings are not intimate with the usual people's life. That's why they became a secret teaching. But in this one of these 200 items, there is a very simple explanation of life and death. Both phrases are a great matter of life and death. Life and death are impermanent and swift. Both phrases are essential point for the Dharma gate. Teachings are gate. To get into unity of the human life, and also something more than human life, okay? But so-called truth. So teaching itself is not real truth. Teachings are just a gate. But this is the teachings a gate, but that teachings are not separate from our life. That's why teaching has to digest it by your life. and then gate open. At that time, teachings are not gate, that truth. But before you don't, you understand that teaching, before you digest the completely teachings, but teachings are temporarily, say, gate to get into unity or oneness. Okay, so that's why we use a gate, Dharma gate itself. The boss phrases are the essential point for the Dharma gate, where the Buddhas are vividly alive, all living beings liberates from the gate of life and death. In this case, the gate of life and death. Gate is very important because you have to get in. Gate of the life and death means already you have to get in. Okay? So, you have to get in, it is a gate, or even though you don't get in, you can see the gate of the life and death in front of you. Okay? So it depends on you whether you get into or you don't get into. Okay? It depends on you. But life and death are no excuse. No excuse for you that I don't want to get in, because you are already right in the middle of life and death. But you don't like it. So why you don't like it, or you have lots of questions, the life and death becomes temporarily a gate of life and death in front of you. Okay? So you are very scared. Very scary. Life and death are very scary. So you always hesitate right in front of the gate. Should I get in, or should I escape, run away? Always you say so. At that time, it is called life, the gate of life and death. But on the other hand, you have to get in. If you get in, the life and death, exactly, life and death blooms its own flowers. Okay? So, that's why life and death is a gate in order to know real life and death. So we say, the gate of life and death. So all living beings liberates from the gate of life and death, and drift in the stream of the six categories of existence. Okay, the six, drift in the stream of six categories of existence. Six categories means the hell, hungry ghost, the animal world, fighting spirit, the celestial being, and human being. So those are six categories of existence we belongs to. Okay? One of you, everyone, belongs to this, these categories of existence. Okay? We always create world like this. So from this point, our lives are just like six categories of existence. Okay? And drifting means we are always drifting, or drifting means not recklessly. In a sense, if you don't realize what it is, you are drifting. But through the drifting in the stream of the sixth category of the life, then you can swim. Exactly. Not drifting. But drifting is pretty good for us. But you should drift in the stream of sixth category all existence with the realization. Okay? So, let me read once more again. A great motto of life and death are impermanent and swift. Both phrases are an essential point for the Dharma Gate, where the Buddhas are vividly alive. Okay? A great matter of life and death. The life and death is important matter because within it there are Buddhas and ancestors. All living beings are really vividly alive. So, that's why he says where the Buddhas are vividly alive. And also not only the Buddhas and the all living beings, the Buddhas and the ancestors, but also all living beings, pebbles and trees and airs, snows, springs, all living beings, anyway, liberate from the gate of life and death. Well, life and death are really gate, the gate to be liberated from life and death. Okay? Get into Buddha's and ancestors' life. Okay? And then we can live in the sixth category of existence in the same way as all living beings and help. So, a great matter of life and death. Life and death are the impermanent and swift. In the Buddhism, we don't accept life and death pessimistically. Okay? Very positively, initiatively, we accept that life and death, which is impermanent and swift. the advent of Buddha. Advent of Buddhas is due to life and death. Life and death are a forest, like a forest, mountains. Life and death are ornaments of the Buddha. Life and the the Buddhas uses life and death, but ordinary people are they exploited by life and death. The Buddhas incinerate life and death constantly with vow. Vow means very deep aspiration for walking together with all sentient beings, no matter what happens. Always, okay? This is a vow. So that's why I mentioned before, you should accept life and death, your life and death, straightforwardly, without any doubt. Okay? Under all circumstances, at that time, your life becomes soft. Okay? Soft. Not rigid. Not creating stress. But most people become very rigid first. And then try to get out from the rigidness or stiffness you can't do it. For first, because you are already rigid and stiff. Then the more you try to get out the stiff, the more you create stiffness. Just like a zazen, I said, don't think of it. Don't think, just sitting. And then you said, I don't want to think. But the more you try to not think, the more you think. So people completely take care of life a complete opposite way. So they don't realize the original point from where your life and death started, you know, originate. And is that clear? People don't pay attention to original. Starting point, your life blooms. So always they are involved in, you know, their life after. Involved in the life far from the original, okay? Far from the starting point, which your life bloomed, okay? In other words, so the dimensions, don't be rigid, don't be stiff, you know? But already stiff. Stiff means you're very egoistic. Very egoistic. If you become egoistic, your life becomes stiff. Egoistic means always you bring up yourself first, okay? Then think of your life and others' life. So very natural egoistic, you know? And then you criticize. You think, you criticize, you judge. The more and more. That's why your life is going far from the origin. Okay? Origin of your existence. That's very common. That's why I say, please accept your life and death straightforwardly. Whatever you think, I don't like or I like. Anyway, forget this. Your senses. Anyway, first of all, basically, you should take a deep breath and jump into it. Means 1, 2, 3, 4, jump. Okay? Then you can jump. This is, religiously speaking, we say, I take refuge in the Buddha. Okay? I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. This is kind of a 1, 2, 3, jump. Do you understand? It's really true. You have to do it like this every day. From day to day, I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. Anyway, every day you try. That is really, and then you can jump it. But spiritually, you don't see clearly. That's why you have a lot of doubt about this way of lifestyle. But it is very important. So, they accept your life and death straightforwardly without any doubt. And under all circumstances, then you become soft. Okay? Soft and generous and magnanimous. Okay? Then, life starts to come out, blooms. That is, that time you can see your life and simultaneously you can see others' life simultaneously. Okay? But when your life becomes stiff, you can see only your life. Okay? Separate from others. That is cause of creating stress and hatred, anger, and greed, many things coming up. But originally, we are selfish. We are very selfish. That's why I don't think we should emphasize selfish. important point is, if you are selfish originally, no escape. No escape, no excuse to from selfishness. If so, important point is, how can you use that selfishness for what? Okay? Do you understand? This is very important. I don't think Buddhism tried to destroy that selfishness. No. Point is, how to use that selfishness practically, every day, in a simple way. Okay? Simple way, every day. That's why we say, cross, they take the others across the river first. In other words, helping others first. Means you can use your selfishness, you can offer, you can give your selfishness to others. Is that clear? That's why it is important, because from that point of lifestyle, real compassion coming up. It is really cause of gushing out, you know, spring water from the ground. This is called compassion. Okay? And then your selfishness is used in a broad scale. Okay? But usually we don't. If you look at your life, we don't use it in that way. We believe selfishness is very common in the human society. That's why if you are not selfish, you are always behind, you know? That's why you always try to be selfish. But the more you become selfish, the more you are exhausted, you know, chalked, you know, your life. So, important point is, anyway, how to use your selfish in a broad scale. Okay? That's why I say second point is how to use your life. Okay? Just for you, or just for whom? Well, I say just for all sentient beings. Just for everyone. But still, here is the selfishness. I am using my life for everyone. How wonderful we are. This is also selfish. So, final goal is, you should just use your life for all sentient beings without leaving any trace I am doing in that way. Okay? This is so-called liberation, freedom. Liberation in the samsara world, samsaric world. Liberation right in the middle of drifting, drifting in the stream of six category of existence. You are in the sixth category of existence, but you are just living every day. Okay? This is a goal. It's very simple, but it's too simple to know. If you touch it, it's not real freedom. So it's very freedom is it's with you very intimately. It is a secret. It is liberation is really secret. But a secret is your heart. Secret the state of liberation is really your heart itself. Okay? So it's very close. That's why we don't know what liberation is. Idealistically, we know the meaning of liberation. Okay? But we don't know how to be. We don't know how to practice liberation in our life. Because life is very complicated. So we are furred. We are sucked into the big furl of the samsara. That's very usual. So, the Joshua Zen Master says, life and death and going and coming is the body of the true man. True man means arahat. Arahat in Sanskrit. True man means arahat, who realize the real great matter of life and death. Anyway, okay, four categories, four stages.